This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem. Welcome back. We're continuing in Daf Hashavu. We're learning Maseches Ksubos, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara asked the following question. The Mishnah said that even if you don't write a Ksuba, 200 for a Besula, 100 for an Almana, she collects it. Why? It's a Tanai Bezdin. That seems like even somehow if she's Meichel, she collects it irrespective. Who does that go like? That goes like Rameir, the Gemara says, that according to Rameir, if anyone tries to diminish from the 200 of an Almana or the 100 of an 200 of Besula, 100 of an Almana, it's Bilas Nus. But Rabbi Yehuda says a person could be Meichel, a person's entitled to be Meichel, part of the Ksuba. So Gemara says, okay, we've established the first part of the Mishnah is Rav Meir. How about the second part of the Mishnah? The second part of the Mishnah says that if you say, you know what, I'm only making achroi 100 zuz of a field for the ksuba, all your property is achroi. Why? This goes like Rabbi Yehuda that holds achrayas ta'os sofer, that even if you don't say that your land is achroi for the debt, it's achroi for the debt. But Rav Meir says, if you don't say it, so you're not making an achray for the debt. But the Mishnah seems to hold achray is to a soifer, that even if you don't make your field achray, it's achray. So it's a little bit strange that the beginning of the Mishnah is Rav Meir and the seifer is Rabbi Huda. Now, how do we know Rav Meir holds achray is lav to a soifer? The Gemara says, bottom line, non alef om alef. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. Matzah shtarei chayv. Let's say you're walking down the street, you're minding your own business, and you bump into a shtar. It's a shtar choyv. Im yesh bahen achrayis nechasim. If the shtar is meshabed nechasim, lo yachzir. You cannot return it to the malveh. You know why? Shebezdin nefra mehem. Because bezdin's going to collect from it. Bezdin's going to collect from the... Bezin will collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. In other words, Bezin will collect from buyers. So if this shtar says that Reuven is lending money to Shimon, and if Shimon doesn't pay back, then Reuven could collect land, even that Shimon sold, you cannot return it to the Malveh. You know why? Because since Bezin could collect land, even if the Loiva says he owes the money, we're afraid that maybe the Loiva paid back, and now they're making, Rashi says, a kanunya amongst themselves. The loiva already paid back. However, the malva wants to be able to collect property that the loiva had previously sold. So the loiva, even though he paid back, he tells the malva, look, here's the deal. I'll split it with you. Let's say that I didn't pay back. You're going to collect from the fields that that were meshubed for this loan. And you'll take half the field, and I'll take half the field. So if there's achrayis nechasim, you can't return it because Bezdin collects from it. Ein bahen achrayis nechasim. If there is not achrayis nechasim, if the shtar does not allow you to collect from land, yachzer, you can return it. Why? She'ein Bezdin nefra'en mehen. Because Bezdin does not collect from it. Because the shtar does not say that the land is achroi. Divrei Rameir, this is a pinu Rameir. This shows that Rameir holds achrayis lav toa soiferhu. Rameir says it's not a mistake, it's not an error. If the shtar does not allow to be collected from the chasim shubadim, then it will not collect from the chasim shubadim. The chachamim say, by the way, the interesting principle, whenever it says chachamim oimrim in the context of Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Huda. You hear this? When you have Rav Meir and then it says the Chachamim are Rabbi Huda, they like to argue with each other, and the Chacham said Echaz of Echaz Aloyach. So whether it has Achrayas Nechasim or doesn't have Achrayas Nechasim, you can't return it because Achrayas Nechasim Taas Soiferhu. It's a mistake. Even though it doesn't say you could collect from the Chasim of Shabbatim, it's a mistake of the Soifer. So the Gemara says, Reisha, Rav Meir, Vesefer, Rav Yehuda. The Reisha of the Mishnah that says that you could collect 200, whether the person was Meichel or not, whether you wrote a ksuba or not, that goes like Rameir. The Sefer that says that Achrayis Tos Sefer, who is Rabbi Huda. Says the Gemara, Vichy Tema, maybe you'll say Kula Rameir, really it's Ora Meir. Aye. Why in the Sefer do we say that all the land is Meshubat? Vishani Leila Rameir ben Ksuba Lashtari. Maybe Reb Meir differentiates between a ksuba and regular shtarais. Regular shtarais, if you don't write achrayis, it's a tala soifa. However, I'm sorry, regular shtarais, if you don't write achrayis, then you decided not to be, make it achray. But a ksuva, by ksuva, maybe Rameir is maida to Rabbi Yehuda that achrayis tala soifa. Because a ksuva is a tanai bezdin. So you have to be, it is achray, whether you write it or not. Maybe Reb Meir concedes to Reb Yehuda by a ksuba. Does Reb Meir differentiate between shtaris and ksuba? But Tanya, we learned in a brisa, chamisha goivim and hamechurarin. Five people could collect from karka if the karka is free by the loive, but if it's sold, then you can't collect from it. You can only collect from land that's available, not from lands that is meshubed. What are the five things you could collect from land which is mechurar? Mechurar means like this. Let's say I lend you $100 and you can't pay. So if you have land, you're sitting on land, I could collect. That's karka mechurarin. It's free. You have it. Meshubadim is when you sell it to somebody else and now I want to collect it for the debt that you owe me. So, right, okay. So the Eloin, here are the five debts that you can only collect from Karka Mechurarin. Peirois, the Shevach Peirois. The Mishnah in Gittin says Amam Chesam Abeiz that Peirois and Shevach Peirois, you could collect, you can't collect from the Chasam Meshubadim and they Tikkun Olam. What does this mean? The Gemara in Bamatzi explains. We're talking about somebody stole a field. He then sold it to someone else. The buyer improved the field. He sank money into the field. Then all of a sudden, the original owner comes and says, give me back my field. So he gets it back because the purchaser purchased it from a ganav. And it leaves the hands of the buyer with all the improvements the buyer made. The fertilizer, Rashi says, the plowing, the payroll sleeve. The person who it was stolen from grabs it from him because he goes back to the seller and the seller sold it to him ba'achrayis. So like this, the buyer goes to the seller and he collects the keren, meaning you sold me field for $1,000. I'm taking your nechasim mishubadim for $1,000. But the shevach, what I put into the field, that I cannot collect from your nechasim meshubadim. I can only collect from your readily available land. Mo'ayim ibnei tikkun ha'olam. And the reason is because if I'm going to go collect from people who you sold land to, the buyer is basically now responsible for an unending possible debt. How's a buyer supposed to deal with the fact that maybe one day a guy's going to come to him and say, look, you know, you bought a field from this guy. This guy was a ganav. I happen to sink unlimited amount of money into this field. So the buyer said, that's not fair. You know, I'm like maxed out. There's no salary cap in terms of what I have to be careful about, because maybe the person who sold me the field, you know, he may have stole other fields and sold it, and people may have sunk money into it. And then then somebody who bought other fields has unlimited responsibility. So that is only collectible from the chasim mechurarin. Another thing is the makabla bozenas ben ishtai ubas ishtai. Guy gets married, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to support your son. I'm going to support your daughter." He only has the support from the chasim mechurarin, not Nechasim Meshubadim. the get choiv she'im bo yachrayas, or a shtar of debt that does not have achrayas nechasim. Let's say I have a shtar that somebody owes me money, but that does not allow me to collect from nechasim meshubadim. Uksubas isha, or uksuba she'im bo achrayas. So here we're seeing that a shtar that doesn't have achrayas, you can't collect from karka, and there's no difference between a shtar and ksuba. Man shamale damar achrayas abta soiferhu. Who's the one who holds that if there's no achrayas, it's not a mistake? Rameiru ktani ksubas isha, and it does not differentiate between shtar and ksubas isha. Okay, a few more lines, then we get to a fascinating sugya. Says the Gemara, Yibayisemer Rav Meir, Yibayisemer Rav Yehuda. If you want, you could say the whole Mishnah is Rav Meir. If you want, you could say the whole Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. Yibayisemer Rav Yehuda. If you want, you could say it's Rav Yehuda. Hasam kasva le hiskabalti. Hacha loy kasva le hiskabalti. Really, you could say it's Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda holds, really, like it says in the Mishnah, that if you don't write in a ksuba, if you don't write a ksuba, you have to pay her a ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda really agrees to Rav Meir that if you don't write a ksuba, a woman could collect a ksuba. Why? Because a ksuba is a tanai bezden. Elamai. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that that the woman could say it's as if I received 100, it's as if I received 50? The answer is, if the woman doesn't say anything, she's entitled to a ksuba. But she does have the right to say, you know what? It's like I already received 100. She has the right to be moichel de ksuba. Originally, we thought Rabbi Yehuda held that even if she's moichel de ksuba, I'm sorry, originally we thought that if Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman could be moichel de ksuba, that means if you don't write a ksuba, she's not entitled to a ksuba. And the Mishnah that says she is entitled to a ksuba, even if you don't write it, we thought that meant even if she's moichel, she's entitled to a ksuba. Now we're saying no. She doesn't say anything. She's entitled. She's moichel. She could be moichel. Yiboyseim Rameir. Or you could say the whole Mishnah is Rameir. And really, Rameir always holds throughout Shas, Achrayas, Lavto, Soifer. If you don't write Achrayas, it's not a mistake. You have no right to collect from Karka. The Mishnah says, you're chayiv. The Mishnah says that if you say 100 of my property is meshubah to you, you're chayiv beyond 100 for the full 200. Yeah, you're chayiv to give nechosim meshubadim. Excuse me, mucharorim. You're chayiv to give land if the land is available. You're not chayiv to give land if the land is sold. Chayiv doesn't mean you're chayiv even if the land is sold to someone else. Chayiv means you're chayiv if the land is available. Okay, now we come to a fascinating sugya. And here we go. Loi kasabla. Amar Abu Adishma, the father of Shmuel said, Eishas Yisrael Shenensa, a wife of an Israelite that was raped, Asur Labala, is also to her husband. What? A wife of an Israelite that was raped, is also her husband? Why would that be? You know why? Chayshinan. We're worried. Shemat chilasa b'aynes v'sayfa baratzayin. Maybe at first it was coerced, and then it was baratzayin. In other words, we know she was raped, but maybe after a while she lied. She said, "Hey, it's not bad," and she went for it baratzayin. Now here's Tosfos asks, "What do you mean, Esther? Esther was mutter to Mordechai." Why don't we say she was asur to Mordechai? Even before she went baratzayin, she should have been asur because she probably did a baratzayin ultimately. No, Taisa says Esther is different. Why? Because she's a tzadikas gemura, so she'll never do a baratzayin. I would have answered very pashat. You know why Esther was mutter? Because Achashverosh is a guy. Maybe this is only talking about if a Jew rapes a woman. But if a guy rapes a woman, even if it was ultimately baratzayin, but he's like a sus. So we have to go back to the Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta Can a if a woman has an extramarital affair with a guy, virat sign, is she also to her husband? It's machlokes rishonim, no? We have to see in Tosfos there mask of a literal shluhu the ayna shari in the beginning of the Masechta. Okay, but that's what Avuah de Shmuel says. Eishes yisrael shenensa asur labala. Why? Chashin Hashem atchilasa ba'oynes the soifa baratzim. Eisvei Rav laAvuah de Shmuel. Rav asked the father of Shmuel, "What do you mean the Mishnah says in Tishtaboy afar kinach va'ois vinach lila into?" But the Mishnah says that a person, if a person says in the ksuba, if a person does not write in the ksuba that if you get captured, I will redeem you and return you to me for a wife, which means that when a person redeems their wife, she goes back to him. How does that fit into Avuah de Shmuel? Avuah de Shmuel says that if a woman is raped, she's also to her husband. What did Avuah de Shmuel react? Ishtik, he was silent. Kari Rav Ale, Rav called on Avuah de Shmuel, the pasuk, Sorim Otsru Bemilim, princes, withheld their words, the kaf yasim ulfiyam, and their palm they put in their hands. Princes withheld their words, and their palm they put in their hands. Meaning, Avuah de Shmuel chose to be silent, but if he wanted, he could have said something. Says Gemara, Mayas Leilam, what could he have said? He could have said, no, you're right. Regularly, if a woman is raped, we assume ultimately she did baratzan, but if she was captured and we don't really see what's going on, we don't see that she had relations, so then we could be lenient. B'shvuya hikilu, he could have said that we're lenient by captives. So the Gemara asks on Avuah de Shmuel, we know the Torah says that if a woman is raped, she's mutter to her husband. When is that? Well, Avuah de Shmuel, oynes tishari achmani chamishkachas. According to the father of Shmuel, what is the situation of oynes where the Torah permits it? Says Gemara, going to count Edom, for example, where the Edom say, shet sivsa mitchila fiat saif. Shet sovcha mitchila fiat saif. The situation is where she screamed from beginning to end. If she screamed from beginning to end, then she never was barat the oynes. By the way, according to Tosfos, the Gemara could have answered, you know when a woman is mutter to her husband? By a tzadikas, right? I guess it's not enough to be a tzadikas. It needs to be a tzadikas gemura. It's not mastaber that, you know, it's talking about such a rare case. The Gemara continues. Upliga the Rava. This chiddush of Avuah de Shmuel disputes Rava. Amar Rava, kol shetchilas abanim sev v'ratzayin. Anytime she starts off coerced, and in the end she does it willingly, afilu hi oimeres hanichula. Even if she says, "Let him be, let him continue," she'll mole loy niskakla. That if he doesn't live with me now, he say chrasai, I would hire him to do this. Imagine if in the end she says, "You know what? Let him be, because if you're gonna stop him, I'll pay him to continue." Muteres, she's mutter. My time out yitzar albasha. He has cloaked her with the Yetzer Hara. He has riled her up with passion so much that she no longer controls herself. So she's considered coerced. Once he coerced her in the beginning and he got her into this mode, then there's no backing down on her part. And it's not her fault. It's considered oinus. Tani kavase de Rava. We learned that it writes in accordance with Rava. The pasuk says, v'hi lo nispasa. She wasn't forced. That's why she's asur. That implies asura. If she's forced, muteres, then a woman is mutter. But the lashon of she implies only this woman, if she's not forced, is aser, but if she's forced, is mutter. But a different woman, even if she's not forced, and she does it willingly, muteres, she's still permitted. There's a different woman that even if in the end she does it willingly, she's permitted. Who's that? Rava's woman, who she starts Ba'anas and she ends up Baratan, she's permitted because Yitzra Abasha in the end, at the end of the day, she's cloaked with the Yitzhahara. Tanya Idach, there's another version of this. Vihiloinis Basa. She is not forced. Asura, that's why she's Asar. Hanis Basa, but if she's forced, Nuhutera, she's permitted. But she, this woman, if she's not forced, is Asar, and if she's forced, she's Mutter. But Vyeshachachers is another woman. Sha'afa Pishanis Basa, even though she's forced, Asura, she's Asar. There's another woman that even though she's forced, she's Asar. Who's that? Another way we do this. If she's not forced, she's Asar. If she's forced, Muteres. There's another woman, even though she's not forced, and she does it willingly, Muteres. How's that? A woman who's mezana willingly, and it turns out her marriage was on condition. She knows how to make cholent, and she doesn't know how to make cholent. She was a mekach tos, so she was never married to the first guy to begin with. Ve'izazu shekidusha kidushay tos. A woman who got married, betasha filu benon morkavak seva, even if she lived with her husband for 50 years, and she has children. But it was a marriage betanai, and the tanai wasn't fulfilled. Mima'enes ha'alecha, so she could refuse it and walk away. Next gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, hani noshi deganvu, genavi. Women that were kidnapped, Shai and Lugavraya, are permitted to their husbands. The Gemara says, what? But these women are so obedient to their kidnappers. Amri le Rabban Rav Yehuda v'hakama mamtian lehunama. They bring their kidnappers bread. Obviously, they're happy in their matzah. Machmasira. The Gemara says they do it out of fear. V'hakama shachan lugeira. They supply the kidnappers with weapons. So obviously, they're good with it. They have a very loving relationship. No, machmasira. It's out of fear. Says the Gemara, but vaday shavkinu va'azlan minavshay. But certainly, if we let them go back to their husbands and they say no thanks, we like the kidnappers, then asir and their asir. Tana Rabbana, the rabbis taught shavuye malchus, women captured by the king, harehim kishuyan, they're like captives, meaning they're mutter to their husband. Genuve listus, women captured by bandits, inon kishuyan, they're not like women who are captured. And they're usher to their husbands. I vahatanya ibcha, we learned in the Brayis of Fakert, that if they're captured by kings, they are prohibited. If they're captured by bandits, they're mutter. Says Gemara, malchus ha-malchus le-kasha. There's no stira of what the status of a woman is who's taken by a king. Haba malchus ha-chashverosh, haba malchus ben netzer. One is talking about if you're captured by a malchus like Achashverosh, he has 500 women in the harem. So she's not going to marry the guy. So she doesn't ultimately do it baratzain. So then she's mutter. But if it's malchus ben netzer, who he's basically a bandit who rules over a few cities, and she is usher to her husband because she figures he's going to marry her, so she does it baratzain. Listus alistus lekash. There's no question bandits on bandits. Haba ben netzer, haba listen to amat. Depends what kind of bandit. If it's the bandit of ben netzer or regular bandits. So by ben netzer, it's asur. She thinks that they're going to marry her. Regular bandits, she's mutter. So regular king, she's mutter. Regular bandits, she's mutter. A quasi king, quasi bandit like ben netzer, she's asur because he, she thinks, will marry her. So the Gemara asks, "Ubenetzar hasam kar lemech v'ha kar lelistim?" Why Benetzar? In the first answer of the Gemara, we call him a king. Sorry, in the first answer of the Gemara, we say that the Malchus. Why at first do we call Ben Netzer a bandit? Why do we first refer to him as a king? Here we refer to him as a king. Here we refer to him as a bandit. meaning in contradistinction to Achashverosh, he's called a bandit. Contradistinction to a bandit, he's called a king. Says Gemara, yes. In Gabi Achashverosh listim, relative to Achashverosh, he's a bandit. Relative to other bandits, Gabi listim da'am melechu. Relative to other bandits, he's a king. So, the first Mishnah that Tzumim Machas Achashverosh calls Ben Netzer Genuvei Listus. So, we read it, Shvuyin Malchus Harein Kishvuyin Genuvei Listus Einon Kishvuyin. The Genuvei Malchus is referring to Achashverosh. Genuvei Listus is referring to Ben Netzer. When we learned opposite, Shvuyin Malchus Harein Einon Kishvuyin, Genuvei Listus Einon Kishvuyin, there, the Malchus was Ben Netzer, and relative to regular Shvuyim, he's called a Melech. Relative to Achashverosh, he's called a Listim. Okay? This is Nun Aleph Amabez. That's Hashem next week. Regular schedule. Monday and Tuesday, that's Hashem regular time. Okay. Hatzlach, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Dr. Asi, I'm going... okay. Good night, everyone. I'm speaking in Cleveland next Thursday night, but...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.